ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 32. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We matter to other people. We matter to God. We matter to the kingdom. And it's an important thing to know, because if we will get this thing under our belt and know it, we can deal with it in a way that is circumspect and careful, as Paul did. And we can also deal with other people carefully when they fall down. Life gets to be crazy. I mean, it only takes a moment, one night, one evening for David, and man, everything went sideways. And yet, because he had such a foundation of being out under the stars and singing to the Lord and loving on the Lord and killing a bear and killing a lion with his stones in his bare hands in some sense and taking down Goliath and victory and victory and victory, he had enough foundation to know behind the semblance of things that God was not this thunderbolts and lightning God. He knew he was his Father. I just want to tell you, I thank God he's my Father, because I can get my mind around that. Because I'm a father. And I love my kids. And I love my grandkids. Not perfectly, but I love them. I do what I can for them. And if you're a parent, you know what I'm saying. You take care. And God takes care. And he identifies. He doesn't count my brokenness against me. You guys remember perhaps the story of the little girl who was crippled and couldn't walk well and kind of was twisted up and everything. And she was going to have some surgery, but she really didn't want to because she was told it was going to be really painful. One night her dad walked in and she was in tears. And she was just crying her eyes out because she was so afraid. And the dad sidled up next to her on the edge of the bed and said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she told him. But she didn't go right at the heart of the matter. "Don't you love me just like I am? How could you set this up and make it be so painful and hurtful? How can you love me? Don't you love me just like I am?" He said, "Honey, I love you. I love every bit of you. I love you just like you are. But I love you too much to leave you that way when we can help you with this." And that's the way God is with you and with me. He won't leave you like that. He loves you too much to do that. And he will let you fall down so that when you've given up your knee, you'll know you shouldn't do that again. And if that doesn't work, he'll let you even go further. And if you keep pushing the envelope, he'll let you go further, because he loves you enough to let you figure it out in a way that is not just on the pages of the Bible, but that you'll know in your own experience. You don't have to learn that way. But if you push that envelope, you can have a whole world of hurt, just like David did. And you'll be able to say, "I praise God," even though there's debris in the backstory. And you'll be able to say, "I praise him because he has not counted my iniquity against me. He has embraced me. He has lifted up my transgression, lifted up my sin. And he has embraced it in his own bosom because he loved me that much." Now that is a Savior. And what I want you to recognize is that sin is our ever-present companion while we're on this earth. And sin was not the heart of the matter. Iniquity was. Sin is missing the mark. I didn't say all I wanted to say about it, but let's move to verse 6. The Bible says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray." For this, for what? For happiness. For blessedness. That's what we want. We want everything to be okay. Now, everything can't be okay in our flesh, but everything can be okay with our Savior and with our Father. Because when we allow him to heal our wound, there may be a scar, but he puts his big hands on the scar and sanctifies it and says, "You're mine. You didn't fall down to the point where I let you go." He says in verse 7, he says, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me." Didn't say I'm going to persevere. You aren't going to persevere all the time. In a moment where you think you got it going on, you went out and tied one on, you got drunk. Were you persevering? No. Well, did you get lost because you got drunk? No. You don't want to do that. Okay. Maybe you'd lose an arm in an accident. God is awesome. And he loves us. And David says, For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Notice he's now talking about other people who are godly. And when you unpack this particular verse, I want you to know what the word godly means here. The word godly here has the idea of doing obeisance to somebody. However, it's an interesting kind of obeisance, which means like to bow down. But this word for bow down doesn't mean bowing down as if unworthy. It actually means to bow at the head. It's like a nod. It's like a nod between peers, actually. Do you know what God wants? He wants us to be his co-laborers. Do you ever hear that? We're joint heirs, co-laborers. God wants us to be sanctified, beloved sons and daughters. He wants us to bear the heat of the day in this vineyard of his. He wants us to be able to realize that when we fall down, we can get up. And when we dust ourselves up and he looks at us like the dad did for the little boy who fell down running home and got out. And he didn't cry this time. And he nods to his dad and he goes to the stands because he would not cry. He would not buckle. He would not fold. And you and I need to realize God sees us as godly when we can square our shoulders and shrug off the nonsense and keep moving forward. Because many times the sin that we commit is a sin that is aggravated by the rebellion it invokes in us. The thrashing, the anger, the throwing of a bat, somebody getting hurt. That's the picture you can imagine around yourselves when you think of this. God would have us to nod in agreement and move on because he has taken the law and nailed it to the cross. You're not condemned when you fall down. And you need to understand, he's brought us into a wide place. The idea of floods and great waters, that's a huge deal in the scriptures. David talks about it in Psalm 69. He says this, "Save me, O God. For the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come to deep waters where the floods overwhelm me." That was verses 1 and 2. Verses 13 to 15, he says, "But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, hear me." Think about that. His multitudinous mercies, his great salvation, hear me. We're asking him on the basis of real deal realities. He says, "Hear me, deliver me out of this mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. And out of the deep waters, let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me." Now, sometimes when we fall down in the devastations that life throws at us, you got to know there's enemies out there. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil, or sin, Satan, and society. It all is arrayed to try to undo us, to unseat us from the horse that we ride upon. And we find ourselves constantly barraged, and we just need God to help us when it gets the better of us. And sometimes it will. Sometimes it will. So I see him saying this. He's saying, everyone that is godly is going to pray for this. They're going to want that blessedness. I don't know what you pray for when you pray, but I'll tell you one thing you ought to be praying for. God, give me eyes to see and understand your heart. Because I get it that you're awesome, but when it hurts, and when I'm sad, and when I'm miserable, man, all I want to do is thrash. God, help me. All I want to do is aggravate the situation. God, help me. Help me keep my joy. Help me keep my buoyancy. Help me keep my testimony. Help me keep my stewardship for you. Verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me in trouble." The word trouble means in a very narrow spot. When everything begins to get real tight, God will preserve you even in those places. In fact, it will be preserved. You will be preserved by the realities that he brings to your mind. He says, verse 7, "You will preserve me from trouble. You will compass me about with songs of deliverance." Now, I got to say, I love the concept of songs of deliverance, because many times what we find in our own selves is that we don't have a song. You ever feel like that? Oh, man, where'd my song go? It's like Peter Pan in the shadow. Where'd my shadow go? Oh, where'd your song go? You remember when you got saved and there was some buoyancy and you were singing the songs and suddenly they were flying off the page. Man, somebody wrote this. They know what I'm feeling. Man, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for your course. Man, wait, I know this guy. How does he know my heart? You're like singing. And then as time went on and bumps came and bruises were incurred, you began to sit back and say, oh, I'm just waxing. Bones are waxing. My framework is waxing old. And we just begin to lay down. The song goes out the door. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody. Sometimes we can take it by the horns. But you know, when you're in the narrow spot, it's hard to find the song. But the Bible says that God will compass us about with songs of deliverance. And you know, there's only two places in Scripture where God is seen singing. One is Jesus sang in him the night of his crucifixion and went out to the garden to pray, sweat as it were, great drops of blood. We don't see Jesus singing anywhere else, but there we see him. And in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee. He will rest in his love. And he will, listen, he will joy over thee with singing. So sometimes when you're miserable and there is a song flirting in the back of your head, just know who that is. You know, when a lady has been told she's going to have a baby, there's a while before she starts feeling a little kick, a little movement. That's called the moment when it quickens in her womb. She knows, oh, whoa, I think I just felt something. Do you know when God shows up in your hard times and in your sinful moments? That's a good way to know he's there. It's not the best way to find it out, but he's not leaving. He preserves. And he will not count your iniquity against you, but he will hold you responsible for the transgression part. That's the rebellion. You were trying to do something maybe good. I was just trying to see the bird. That was natural. And you know, if I'd have just waited, I could have seen it in about an hour when everybody was up and they flew back that thing. I didn't know I was going to create a mess. Burn the house down practically. I didn't know that. But you know what? God, he's a father who loves. He doesn't yell at us when we make that kind of mistake. And yet there's a consequence. If you get in the cake before your time to have a party, can I just say, wait till it's time to eat the cake? Because if you get it all over you, run, all the family comes in. What happened to the cake? And the whole story is going to be told. We all have that. But we don't want that narrative, because the greater joy is when everybody's around and everything is upright and everything is on the up and up and everything is in its place. That's the difference between transgression and sin, because sin is us missing. We have a natural desire that needs to be met, and God has a way of meeting it. And sometimes we try to bypass the wait, bypass the patience. Listen, when the devil tempted Jesus with the temptation, I will give you all of the glory of all of the kingdoms of all of the earth if you will bow down and worship me, because it has been given in my hand to do that, that was a temptation to bypass the cross. It was a temptation to bypass the cross. And you and I sometimes have a natural, normal, good desire, but the devil tries to jump in there and say, you don't have to wait. You don't have to do it right. You can have it now. But Jesus, when we wake up in our misery, he's right there singing over us with songs of deliverance. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.